Welcome again to our Bible study on spiritual gifts. We will turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Last week, we were looking at or considering the importance of spiritual gifts because the Word of God has devoted considerable space to deal with this truth, this doctrine, both in its doctrinal aspect and also in its practical aspect of developing it and exercising it for the glory of God and for the edification of the body of Christ. So in the New Testament, this is a very, very important topic to which considerable space is devoted by the Holy Spirit. So we will begin with some of the very preliminary basic things that are very important for us to know about spiritual gifts. A spiritual gift is a God-given ability God has given to us to serve Him. We all know that. But the Word of God has many more truths in relation to spiritual gifts so that we may be able to really appreciate its nature, its character, and we will be able to happily exercise it for God's glory. So we begin in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. We will look at the word spiritual gift. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. If you look carefully in your Bible, the word gifts is in italics. So now concerning spirituals, that is what Paul wrote in the original Greek text. But that doesn't make much sense to the English readers. So the translators knew that Paul is talking about, he's teaching about gifts, spiritual gifts. So they have supplied the word gifts. And the word gifts is not in the original text. It is supplied appropriately according to the context by the translators. So the translators want us to know that whatever is in italics, it is not a part of the original inspired text, but it is supplied by the translators to bring out the meaning clearly. So now concerning what Paul wrote is spirituals. So that doesn't make sense to us. So spiritual gifts, because the whole passage text is dealing with gifts. The following verses all use the word gifts. So it is about spiritual gifts. Now let us look at the first word Paul used there. Now concerning pneumaticos, spirituals. Now why Paul used the word pneumaticos, something spiritual, about spiritual gifts? Now that word without gifts, now concerning spirituals, can be masculine or it can be neuter. When it is masculine, it is translated in the Word of God in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 as spiritual men, spiritual people. When it is in the neuter, it can be translated as spiritual things or spiritual somethings pertaining to the Holy Spirit. Something related to spiritual quality. Something characterized by the Holy Spirit, spiritual in nature. So that is what exactly it means. Pneumaticos means pneuma, spirit. Pneumaticos is something related to the Spirit of God. Something supplied by the Spirit. Something bestowed by the Spirit. Something that is spiritual in essence. Something that is dominated and controlled by the Spirit. So what do we understand about spiritual gifts? Our flesh or our carnality, our intelligence, our abilities, our education, our ego, our competency. All these things have nothing to do with spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts 100% is of the Spirit. It is not of the flesh. not of man, not from man. It has everything to do with the Spirit of God. So, I hope I am exercising now the gift of teaching which the Lord has given to me. And we all exercise our spiritual gifts on various occasions. This is a very solemn reminder that your spiritual gift which you think you have and you are exercising it for God's glory, it is spiritual in nature. It is completely of the Spirit. It belongs to the Spirit. The Spirit has given it to you. So it is a spiritual thing. It is spiritual in essence. It is pertaining to the Spirit. It is a matter of spiritual quality characterized by the Spirit. From beginning till the end, it is all of the Holy Spirit. So we must approach it with reverence and with gratitude to God that, Lord, I'm nothing in this. I don't deserve it. I don't merit it. I don't earn it. It is all by your grace. It is a spiritual gift to me from the Spirit of God to do spiritual business for his kingdom. So A to Z, it is of the Spirit. You don't have anything to do with it. A solemn reminder to boost the reverential attitude in which we must apply and exercise spiritual gift. It is not an ostentatious parade of anybody's education, experience, or ability. It humbles us. It is pneumaticos. You don't have anything to contribute. Everything is supplied by the Spirit. So that is the neuter gender. If it is masculine, let me show you where it is used. The same word is used in the masculine. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people or spiritual men, because in the context, it is talking about natural man, spiritual man, and the carnal man. You know, so in the context, it is talking about those three: natural man, carnal, spiritual man, and carnal man. So the translation should be not spirituals, but spiritual men or spiritual people. Same word, but the gender is here masculine. It has to be. The word can be either masculine or neuter. In 1 Corinthians 12, the appropriate sense in which it is used is neuter. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, by reading the text in the context, we know it is talking about spiritual people, spiritual men. So it is translated as spiritual men or spiritual people. Now come with me, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are diversities or varieties of gifts. So that is the second word, gifts. That is the more popular word, charisma, from which we get the word charismatic, related to spiritual gifts. So today, when people talk about the charismatic movement, it is a wrong application and understanding of that word, you know. So charisma, gifts of his grace. Charis, grace. Charisma is gifts of his grace. So that is the second word. So the first word is, it is something spiritual. Okay, verse 1. Verse 4, it is the gift of his grace. That means it is not based on our merit. It is based on God's grace. Gifts of his grace. In the Indian language, Malayalam language, it is beautifully translated as Kripa Varam. That is the gift of his grace. I don't deserve it. I don't earn it. I don't merit it. You know, but why do we have spiritual gifts? It's all by His grace. So not only salvation, our service to the Lord also is by His grace. We seldom think about that, you know. We are tempted to think, especially people like me, that we serve the Lord because of our commitment, because of our sacrifice, because of our experience, because of our calling, because of our education. All those things are good, but we serve the Lord primarily because of His grace. Whether it is leading, exhorting, teaching, preaching, singing, serving, be showing mercy to someone, all by His grace. Because this is a service, pneumaticos, in the spiritual realm. And if it has to be effective, it has to be energized by the Spirit. That is why sometimes, you know, when people try to make their presentation, everything very impressive, it becomes impressive, but it doesn't bless anyone. Because it is pneumaticos. It is in the spiritual realm. You know, ornate vocabulary, good communication skill, good knowledge, all those things are good, desirable. But if it has to be a blessing to someone, the Spirit of God has to make it a blessing in the spiritual realm. So why do we have spiritual gifts? All by His grace. That is the second word, based on God's grace, gifts of grace. They are functions of divine grace. Now, look at, verse 1, spirituals, pneumaticos. Then verse 4, another name, the common popular name is spiritual gift, or gifts of His grace. Then Paul further explains this concept in verse 5. There are differences or varieties of ministries. KJV uses administrations, but literally the word is related to serve and servant and deacon, diakonion, related to service. So he's talking about spiritual gifts. Number one, spirituals. Number two, gifts of His grace. Number three, these are different opportunities to serve. Ministries, you know, differences in our service. I serve the Lord in one way, you serve Him in another way. Sisters serve the Lord in a different way. So we diversities of differences of ministries, but the same law. So different allotments, different varieties, different kinds of services through the operation of spiritual gifts, but it all comes from the same Lord. Now look at verse 6. And there are diversities of activities. He's further amplifying the nature of spiritual gifts. So here it is, diversities of activities. KJV maybe operations, New American Standard effects. Activities, you know, energamata is the word. So the idea is clear. The word, the English word, energy. Energetic, energizer. That is the idea. So look at verse 6. There are diversities of energamata, activities. That means it is through the empowering of the Holy Spirit that we have to exercise our spiritual gifts. It is not through our abilities, not according to our wish, not according to our flesh, not according to our competitive mind, Because those were the problems in Corinth. They wanted to show their spiritual gifts, especially the gift of speaking in tongues and more spectacular gifts. They wanted to make an ostentatious parade of it. So it is in that context that this is written. You know, it cannot be energized by the Spirit. It should be energized by the Holy Spirit. So the spiritual gift is the operations, energamata, activity of the Spirit of God. That is why when we minister the word of God or when we serve somebody, when it becomes a blessing to us, we know that the Lord was behind it. It was the Lord who moved the hand of that person. Or it is the Lord who moved the mouth of that speaker, because it is the energamata. These are wonderful truths. These are great truths. And we seldom think about it when we think about spiritual gifts. Because in order to appreciate the doctrine of spiritual gifts, the whole passage and what Paul is talking about it, how he qualifies it, how he describes it, is very, very important. Operations, activities. Look at verse 7. He's not done it, you know. But the manifestation of the Spirit, further explanation, it is also the manifestation of the Spirit. It is the demonstration of the Spirit of God in me and in you. You know, it is the manifestation of the Spirit, the operation of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the grace of the Spirit, and the ministry of the Spirit that should come out as we exercise our spiritual gifts. Now, this is applicable to all spiritual gifts, not only to teaching or public exercise of spiritual gifts, to all spiritual gifts, showing mercy, hospitality, giving, you know, having faith and word of encouragement, leading the people of God, governing the assembly. All this, you know, these are all various spiritual gifts. And these spiritual gifts are energized by the Spirit. It is in the spiritual realm. And it is operated. If it is to be blessed, it has to be operated under the energy of the Spirit. And it is a manifestation of the Spirit of God. So next time when you exercise your spiritual gift, or when you are aware that you are serving the Lord in whichever capacity, think about these things. It is spirituals. It is gift of His grace. It is a ministry. It is an activity energized by the Spirit. And it is also a manifestation of the Spirit. So the word spiritual is really important. Now, all of us know what is a spiritual gift, but we will look at some definitions. A simple definition I stated last week, a spiritual gift is a God-given ability for spiritual service. A little more detailed definition, a spiritual gift is a God-given capacity or ability of every Christian. It is not only for elders, leaders, or evangelists, full-time workers, no. For every believer, and for men and women, and for boy or girl, new believer or mature believer, a spiritual gift is a God-given capacity of every Christian to carry out his, her, or her function in the body of Christ. It is through the spiritual gift that we must carry out the responsibilities the Lord has given to us. You know, our experience, our education, our maturity, our understanding of God's word, all can be contributing factors, as we know. But at the same time, if we have to function effectively in the body of Christ, we must exercise our spiritual gift in the power of the Holy Spirit under His guidance. So, a spiritual gift is a God-given ability or a capacity upon every Christian. Nobody is exempted to carry out his or her function in the body of Christ. It is a divine endowment or special ability for service upon a believer. It is a divine enablement to serve effectively in the power of the Holy Spirit. So two things are very important in this definition. Number one, it is divine, spiritual in its essence. Okay, in its source, not essence. It is divine in its source. It is from the Lord, 100%. And it is, when it is manifested, you find effectiveness in doing that. A good example would be, which would be very familiar to all of us, would be we all share the gospel, and we all can, and we all must, and we all should. But we might have noticed a little bit of difference when Billy Graham used to share the gospel. What is it? The difference? It is the spiritual capacity the Lord has specially given to him to communicate gospel effectively. So whether it is in teaching, preaching, exhortation, all of us can do all these things to some extent, and we must. But whom the Lord has gifted and given that capacity in that area, you know, we knew that there was a great difference when William MacDonald taught the word of God, you know. Why is that? We all can notice it, because that is the demonstration. It is not something hidden. It comes out. God has gifted this man. When Louis Johnson used to teach, that was very evident. Harry Ironside, very, very effective teacher. You know, it is the God-given capacity to function effectively. So, we may serve the Lord in any sphere where there is opportunity, as we all encourage believers in this assembly. We all should pitch in and serve. But where the Lord has gifted you, that will be your lead strength. You will be more effective in that area. So, we must also try to spend more energy in the areas where the Lord has gifted us and given us that special ability to serve Him. And this is also a reminder about our limitation. If the Lord has not equipped me or enabled me with a special spiritual gift to serve in that area, I believe my contribution in that area should be minimal, so that others who are more gifted in that area would be able to do a better job than I can. And that will be for the blessing of the assembly. So it is a wonderful truth. It has a lot of practical application. This is not about superiority or inferiority. All spiritual gifts are valuable and valid before the Lord. He's the one who has given us. But knowing our spiritual gifts and exercising it accordingly will benefit others more if we are than just jumping into everything. But when there is a need, we all should be able to help. All should be able to share, exhort, speak, teach, preach, all these things. But the truth is very clear that we cannot change. Where the Lord has gifted you, you will be more effective and you will be a great blessing to others. Some attitude towards spiritual gifts. Some people, believers also, very ignorant about it, no meaningful awareness. These things are assumed usually than studied. You know, a lot of assumptions going on in assemblies. We all assume we know all these things, you know, but very seldom seriously study. And as a result of that, no meaningful awareness of many of these things. Sometimes we are satisfied with the vague and superficial understanding. Sometimes people totally neglect it. And as in some circle, people abuse it. How? Because some people would say, I have the gift of prophecy, or I have some superior gifts and you don't have. So I can tell you what to do, when to do it, and how to do it. So to manipulate people and to exploit, which happens today. You will find that in the news. In some church circle, this is an ongoing problem. You know, people who claim to have superior gifts, and they say that God has revealed this to me concerning you. And they try to harass them, pester them, try to control them in different ways. Overemphasis of certain gifts. That was the problem in Corinth. Abuse also was a problem. And overemphasis of certain gifts, because the Corinthians thought the more spectacular gifts, sign gifts, you know, like the gift of healing and miracle working, and also the speaking in tongues and receiving revelation, those things were put on a very high pedestal. And those who did not have these things, these gifts, they were looked down upon. Number six, biblical understanding, appreciation, and exercise of spiritual gifts. That is the objective of our study. We should have a biblical understanding and appreciation of it, and we must exercise it accordingly. So time flies very quickly, so we are not able to make much progress, but we were able to make some very important observations and good interpretation of the passages related to it. And as we continue our study, we will be able to understand more, and more practical truths also will emerge. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we thank you for the clarity of your word and the authority of your word. And as we totally depend upon the Holy Spirit, who is the author of the word of God, as we study your word, we pray that thou may help each one of us to have the right understanding of the doctrine of spiritual gifts, and also help each one of us to apply it appropriately according to your will, plan, and purpose for your glory and for the edification of the body of Christ. And to that end, we commend and commit ourselves. Thank you for the ministry of the word today, and now the Bible study, which we are able to spend these moments in. And we pray that young and old, we may be richly blessed and challenged by your word as we return home. We pray this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.